Hello, and welcome to module number 5 of my home study program on stress management. This program is designed so that you will learn about stress, the negative health impacts associated with chronic stress, a nutritional approach to reducing stress, and other methods that help enhance relaxation. Stress is a topic that touches many different areas, and the coping strategies that we'll be covering truly represent a holistic nature. You will get the tools and action steps you need so that you can start taking control of your own health right now. Excuse me. Our lives are constantly bombarded with tasks, information, and to-do lists that are at times make us feel overwhelmed. We have so many things to deal with that we feel we need 48 hours in a day. We multitask and we eat on the go. Our fast-paced society simply won't allow us to take a breath and regroup. Before the day is over, we get so high-strung that we feel the stress monster has taken over our lives. We're just being pushed around by circumstances and no longer able to control our lives. Yes, there are circumstances that are out of our control, but how we respond to them is what matters. The knowledge and tips that I will share with you today are going to change that. You will learn various coping strategies that will help you reduce stressful moments and enhance relaxation. You will learn how nutrition is going to affect your stress level and how to cope with physical as well as mental stress. I aim to provide you with a variety of approaches so that you don't have to use every single one of them. Just pick one that resonates with you, that fit into your life, and see how well they work for you. The idea is to have these strategies and tools work for your life to reduce stress, not the other way around, which may actually create more stress by adding an extra to-do on your list. Along with the audio today, you'll be provided with handouts that are relevant to the topics. Now, sometimes changes take time to implement, for them to be incorporated into your life, and for them to become a habit. So give yourself time for each technique to sink in before picking up a new tool to make sure that the positive changes that you make are there for you for a long time to come. In the realm of stress management, things are not quite black and white. Nothing that I present in this program is the absolute method that works for everyone. I invite you to take the ones that work for you and leave the ones that don't resonate with you. In my practice, I help my clients build a healthy, balanced diet, nourish themselves with the right foods, and make appropriate lifestyle adjustments so that they can be the best they can be for themselves and their family. The first step to making changes is to be aware of the problem. To cultivate awareness, I highly recommend that you keep a journal to observe what your triggers are. When you feel stressed, write down what is happening around you, what you are doing, what you were feeling and thinking, and what you've eaten in the past couple hours. Being aware of your trigger can help you figure out a plan of action that helps you reduce the instances of encountering those trigger situations. Taking control is actually one of the ways to deal with stress effectively. This mindfulness will help you build the awareness you need to bring about the changes. For any issues that I am dealing with, I always like to say, know thy enemies. I want to share with you some knowledge and facts on stress, what it is and how it affects us physiologically, so that we have a strong basis upon which to build our action steps. Stress in and of itself is not a bad thing. The physiological changes allow us to adapt and respond to our environment. And it was particularly important for our ancestors when they were chased by those saber-toothed tigers back in the caveman days. Physiologists define stress as how the body reacts to a stressor, real or imagined, a stimulus that causes stress. Acute stressors affect an organism in the short term. Chronic stressors over the long term. And chronic stressors are the ones that we're more concerned about and what we're going to be discussing today because of their negative health impacts that it creates on our body. Stress can be beneficial or destructive depending on its nature and duration. It can help enhance mental and physical function, and it can help us during athletic training or challenging work. However, persistent stress that is not resolved through proper coping or adaptation strategies can lead to anxiety or withdrawal behavior, including depression. Whether a stressful situation proves to be harmful for someone depends on a few factors, including personal expectations and resources to cope with the stress. In response to a stressful situation, our body secretes the stress hormone cortisol, and that alters our physiological response. Cortisol helps us cope with acute stressful situations by increasing blood levels for energy mobilization, increasing our appetite, converting fat to energy, suppressing the reproductive system, and stimulating immune organs to cope with bodily injury. However, if the level of cortisol is chronically elevated, it results in a number of negative and destructive effects, including visceral, which is your internal fat deposits, memory impairment, insulin resistance, osteoporosis, mood swings, changes in sleep habits, various digestive issues, neuromuscular complaints, as well as immune system impairment, which can lead to autoimmune disease and increased metabolic disturbances. So how can you tell if you're under chronic stress? Some people have physiologically adapted to the various stressors in their lives and simply consider that state as the norm. So here are some signs to watch out for an indication that you're possibly under chronic stress. Digestive complaints like diarrhea or nausea, stomach cramps, the feeling of suffocation or shortness of breath, a rapid heartbeat, physical weakness, behavior challenges and changes, unexplained anxiety, tears, or inappropriate nervous laughter, and inability to communicate and focus. Now, some people, when under chronic stress, exhibit certain behaviors to cover up the burnout feeling, and they may include using coffee or other stimulants first thing in the morning, using alcohol or sleeping pills at night to wind down, midnight snacking, overworking or oversleeping. And they also may show signs of depression or lack of motivation. Besides making us much less able to enjoy life and much more unpleasant to deal with, stress can cause a cascading series of physiological response in our systems that lead to serious health issues in the long run. Nutrient deficiencies due to decrease in nutrient absorption and increase in excreting of certain minerals happens. Increased chances of cardiovascular disease by increasing the LDLs, which is your low-density lipoproteins. Increased triglycerides, high blood pressure, and increase of blood platelets. A reduced good gut flora, which can lower your immunity and cause digestive issues. A reduced metabolism and increased fat storage, which can lead to weight gain. A decreased ability to heal quickly. And an increase in oxidative stress, which increases premature aging. Now, stress is an inevitable part of life. Even minor tasks and small changes in our environment can be perceived by our body as a stressful situation. The key is to have the tools to effectively manage the stress so that your body is not in a constant state of heightened stress response. That creates chronic stress that would bring about the negative health impacts that we just discussed. So when we talk about stress, most people would think about mental and physical stressors. However, we must take into account physical stressors that we put on our body resulting in the stress response. Those can include an improper diet, a lack of exercise, overtraining, and a lack of rest and sleep. We'll talk more about ways to take care of your physical body to reduce the impact on stress. The first way I want to introduce of how we take care of our physical body is to ensure that you're providing the right kind of nutrition so that your body can cope with the stressors effectively. Certain foods and stimulants can trigger an increased sense of anxiety, making us more prone to stress. Others have the effect of soothing the nervous system or help increase our body's ability to adjust to stressful situations. So here's a few tips on how to use nutrition and herbs to manage stress. The first is to use what are called nervine herbs. These are herbs that calm our nervous system and encourage relaxation. And those are chamomile, valerian, lemon balm, and oats. Now, if you have a thyroid condition, lemon balm use, frequent use, is not recommended for those with hypothyroidism. The second is to use adaptogens. Adaptogens are herbs that simply adapt to what your body needs. So they would bring you up in the morning, and they would balance you out and bring you down in the evening. They help your body deal with a broad range of stressors and quickly return your body to a state of balance once the stressor has gone away, without robbing the body of vital nutrients and energy. Now, the adaptogens are, here's a few. They include something called ashwagandha, and that's A-S-H-W-A-G-A-N-D-H-A, ashwagandha. That's a really great one. It comes in a powder form. You can put it in your tea. You can put it in your smoothies. Another is called holy basil, or Tulsi, T-U-L-S-I. There's a herbal tea that you can get that has both of those in there. Schisandra berry is another one. You can take it as a supplement. Put that in your smoothies as well. Siberian ginseng, rhodiola, and passion flower. And you just, you know, look for some teas that have those ingredients in it, and have an herbal tea in the afternoon. There's also a tea called gynostemma, G-Y-N-N-O-S-T-E-M-M-A. That's a great adaptogenic herbal tea I like to take in the afternoons. Excuse me. Next are amino acids. L-theanine and GABA, G-A-B-A, can help reduce stress. Green tea contains the theanine. And almonds, whole wheat, halibut, walnuts, lentils, brown rice, potatoes, spinach, banana, and oranges are all high glutamate, or have glutamic acid, which is a precursor to the GABA amino acid. Now, you can supplement with these amino acids, but that needs to be done under the supervision of a health coach or a wellness professional. If you want to just get started, I would just eat some of those foods, the almonds or walnuts, spinach, banana, oranges, brown rice. Calcium also has a soothing effect on the nervous system. Increase your intake of calcium-rich foods like leafy greens such as kale and collard greens, Swiss chard, bone broth during your dinner time. These can help you wind down. And if you do take a calcium supplement, it should be a calcium-magnesium combination, and take it with dinner, which can help ease you into the evening. Also, reduce the use of stimulants such as caffeine, none after 3 p.m. Explore some coffee alternatives if you need a boost, like yerba mate, green tea, black tea, or the African redbush tea, rooibos, to avoid the caffeine jitter. You also want to reduce your intake of sugar and other processed and refined foods. Those cause blood sugar fluctuations, increasing the chances of developing mood swings and anxiety, making you more prone to stress. As I mentioned earlier, we oftentimes overlook stress that we impose on our physical body. It doesn't have to be anything dramatic. If we don't take good care of our body, we will become depleted and less able to cope with stress, whether it's physical or mental. Besides eating well, getting enough rest is probably the next big thing, especially in our always-on society. About 33% of the population experiences insomnia on a regular basis. Many people are dependent on medication to help them sleep, and there's over 300 medications that actually interfere with normal sleep. A lack of sleep causes an increase in our cortisol levels, which increases the negative health impact that chronic stress has on the body. There are many causes of insomnia, including anxiety, tension, depression, environmental changes, emotional arousal, fear of insomnia, fear of sleep, hypoglycemia, a disruptive environment, pain or discomfort, caffeine, drugs, and alcohol. And we can't control all of these factors, but there are ways that we can improve our habits and environment so that we can improve the quality and quantity of our sleep. Practicing a bedtime ritual can help you wind down and let your body know it's time to relax and it's ready to get to sleep. So I would advise you to turn off the TV, your computer, your iPhones, at least an hour before bed. That blue light that emits from all those electronic devices affects our brains and stimulates our nerve endings to stay awake. So turn off, unplug, have a cup of warm chamomile tea, or read a book or a magazine. If you're prone to hypoglycemia, have a snack before bed that is mostly complex carbohydrates. And that would include whole grain toast, whole grain crackers, not whole wheat, whole grain, or a small bowl, a quarter cup of warm oatmeal. Some symptoms of hypoglycemia that you can look out for are double vision, blurry vision, a fast heartbeat, feeling cranky, nervous, headache, hunger, shaking, trembling, sweating, tiredness, and unclear thinking. So devise some strategies to help you wind down and stay calm starting an hour or two before bed. For example, if looking at your bank account makes you worried and you start thinking about what if this and what if that, then don't look at it before your bedtime. Or if you know that speaking to your sister-in-law always gets you worked up, make a rule not to take her calls after certain hours. For some people who tend to remember things or come up with ideas around bedtime, have a pen and paper handy beside the bed so you can do a brain dump before bed and not have to worry about remembering everything when you wake up. Sugar, caffeine, and alcohol all affect our sleep. So try to reduce your intake during the day and avoid them altogether in the evening, but definitely try to avoid them after 3 p.m. Now, serotonin is a neurotransmitter that plays a role in our sleep. The precursor of serotonin is tryptophan, you know, the famous amino acid in turkey that everybody says makes you sleepy. It is most common for people who skip meals and are addicted to empty calories. So tryptophan can be found in turkey, meat, potatoes, pumpkin, and various greens. You may have heard of 5-HTP. That's an intermediate form when tryptophan is being converted into serotonin. It does not occur in significant amounts of food, but is available as an over-the-counter supplement in the U.S. So that helps boost your serotonin levels. The time and sequence of when we eat protein and carbohydrates during the day and during a meal can also affect whether we feel relaxed or energized afterwards. Protein tends to get us energized, so eat more of it during the day. Complex carbohydrates has a role in our serotonin production, so eating dinner that is, you know, a good portion of whole grains and vegetables can help your brain and body get into a more relaxed state. Besides sleep, exercise or movement is also very important when it comes to taking care of your body. Exercise is definitely necessary to maintain your health, but it's not necessarily the more the better. Increased activity levels boost your metabolism, which in turn causes the body to generate more free radicals, so increasing the level of your oxidative stress. So from big athletes or those who engage in activities that are prolonged, like endurance runners, for example, it's recommended to supplement your diet with antioxidants, such as vitamin C and E, coenzyme Q10, and selenium to help the body combat oxidative stress caused by free radicals. If we go overboard with our exercise, we can also get overtrained, and overtraining can put stress not only on our muscular system, but also our heart and adrenals. Some common warning signs that you may be overtraining are muscle soreness and aches and pains, a washed out feeling of lack of energy, a sudden drop in performance, insomnia or headaches, decreased immunity, such as an increased number of colds, moodiness and irritability, or a loss of enthusiasm for your sport, and or an increased incidence in injuries. So some ways to recover from overtraining is rest and recover. So just slow down a little bit or stop the exercise altogether to allow yourself a few days to regroup. The longer the period you overtrained, the longer the rest period needs to be. And you need to hydrate. Drink lots and lots of clean filtered water or non-caffeinated herbal tea. And get a sports massage that helps you relax mentally and physically as well. Cross-training also helps athletes who are overworking certain muscles or suffering from mental fatigue. So as I mentioned earlier, stress management is a very multifaceted topic and should be approached holistically from many angles. So I want to take a few moments to look at some relaxation techniques. The first is meditation and breathing exercises. Now, I've mentioned this previously in one of our other modules, but the 4-7-8 breathing technique is great for relaxation. I do it when I feel stressed, and I do it especially before bedtime. It just eases me right into sleep. And that's where you inhale for a count of 4 through your nose, hold for a count of 7, and then you release for a count of 8. So it's the 4, 7, and 8. Inhale for 4, hold for 7, exhale through the mouth for 8 counts. And I would do that for at least 3 to 4 times. Yoga is also great. It helps release hormones that are conducive to relaxation. Some of the poses, like the hip opening poses, are great for releasing stored stress and emotions. Even just deep breathing or stretching, taking the time to hold a stretch can help you slow down and refocus your energy. Bending over, stretching your head and your neck, stretching out your back, and exercise regularly. All you need is 30 to 40 minutes a day. When I'm feeling stressed, I definitely need to exercise. I think that's one of the methods that resonates with me the most is getting regular exercise. It releases those endorphins, the feel-good hormone, and it makes me feel better. Another is to stop multitasking. It's kind of become a sport with a lot of us, especially moms, and it actually doesn't help us. So focusing on one thing at a time helps you become more efficient and more focused. Then another is to journal. So set aside a few minutes in the morning to write. Set an intention for the day, write about what you're grateful for, set a couple of goals, and write down what you're going to do to take care of yourself, or just have fun. Simply write down what's on your mind, which is a great way to help calm and relax that mental chatter that's going on. One of the things that I recommend to my clients is to do something called morning pages, and that's where you, right when you're waking up, you want to write down longhand the thoughts that are just coming out of your mind, right when you're coming out of that state of sleep. So I grab a notebook and I just jot down random thoughts, anything that's coming to me. And then I go a little bit deeper and I think about, you know, what I want to do or my goals. And this doesn't have to be anything that you're going to keep or anything that anybody's going to see. You can just write down your thoughts and throw it away if you want to. It's called morning pages. Another is to listen to relaxing music. I love the spa and escape channels on satellite radio. But there are many ways you can find relaxing music. Just pick a favorite CD or download some to your iPod or listen to the classical music station on the radio on your way home from work. Music without lyrics is best because it can just transport you to a relaxing place. So schedule quiet time every day, even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes, but it's just your time. I call it the take 10. So you want to close the door, turn off the computer, silence your phone. Take these few precious minutes to do what feels good to you and recharge your battery. You need to cultivate the awareness of how you feel when you're about to get into a burnout state and give yourself a break before you get into that state. Another is to pamper yourself. Give yourself a massage, a pedicure, a bubble bath, something that helps you feel pampered and like a million bucks at least once a week. Self-care, whatever form it comes in, helps you take care of the physical aspect related to stress and burnout. Keep in mind that you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of others for a long time to come. Another method is to silence the internal chatter. The most creative people get their best ideas and do their best work when their internal mind is calm and quiet. Excuse me. There are many ways to silence the internal chatter, and different methods work for different people. So you could try the morning pages. Just journal and write down whatever comes to mind. Or just sit and quietly meditate. Sometimes taking control of a stressful situation can be the best way to cope. So here's a few coping strategies that can help you face your stress head on. Number one, take action. Doing something. Do what's in front of you. Even a tiny step toward resolving the issue that is creating the stress for you can put you in the driver's seat. It can give you a sense of control over the situation, thus reducing stress, which is partly caused by uncertainty. Number two, ask yourself, what is the worst thing that can happen? Take a few minutes to ponder, plan it out, write down the worst case scenario. What would you do? Most of the time, people find out that it's actually not that bad and they can totally live with the outcome. So now that you've gone through the worst in your head, you have a plan for it. There's no more reason to worry and be stressed out. Number three, don't believe everything you think. Now, what do I mean by that? Keep in mind that the way reality appears to us depends on the way we perceive our circumstances. And the way we perceive our circumstances is affected by our past experience, or our current situation, our personality, and our emotion, just to name a few factors. A situation perceived as stressful by someone who is very risk adverse can be perceived as exciting by someone who enjoys trying new things and taking risks. When that little voice in your head starts whispering and blowing things out of proportion, stop the downward spiral and realize that your perception creates your reality. Are you creating a stressful situation based on emotions or past experience that does not really reflect your current situation? Number four, take a break. Stop spinning and do something different. Sometimes staring at the same thing all day will not give you the answer. To get you out of your head, try to do something physical. Turn on the music and dance, go for a run, hit the golf course, take a yoga class. Getting up and getting out will snap you out of that downward spiral and negative headspace. Number five, put in the effort and detach from the outcome. A lot of times we get worried and stressed out over outcomes of our actions that we don't have full control over. Desirable outcome of our effort may be affected by factors that are outside of our control. So worrying about it creates stress without contributing to changing the results. A mindset upgrade is to put in the effort and let go of the results. Detach from what you perceive to be the right outcome. Instead, see your effort as sowing the seeds, then step back and allow the seeds to grow and take its course. Of course, you can tend to the fields and make sure you do your best to ensure a good crop, but you really have no full control if the weather doesn't cooperate or if the plants just won't want to grow in the other direction, right? Okay, wow, we've covered a lot of good information on how to approach stress management from a variety of perspectives. I want to quickly recap what we discussed, then tell you how you can get some more support and implement what you just learned. We started with an overview of stress, what it is, and a little bit about the stress hormone cortisol. We looked into the indicators of chronic stress and its long-term health implications. To help you take action, I shared with you ways to use a nutritional approach to alleviate stress, the importance of caring for your physical body, rest and exercise in particular, and a list of relaxation techniques that you can choose among to meet your needs and circumstances, as well as my 5 coping strategies. We're getting near the end of this program, and I want to assure you that you have more than enough information and knowledge to start managing stress and regaining balance in your life. However, no matter how much material you have listened to or how many pages of notes you've taken, health does not happen overnight. So I urge you to get the right support, be it with me or with some other coaches or with a friend or family member, so that you can take meaningful action and make positive changes to your life. So take care. And I look forward to hearing more next week. Bye for now.